Hey, everybody, it's Kai. This is our podcast, Corner Office, my full conversations with CEOs released every other Tuesday. Today's guest is Scott Derschlag, the new-ish CEO of Angie's List.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Scott Derschlag, good to have you with us.
Great to be here, Kai.
You've had this job for a little less than a year now, I guess. Has it been what you've expected?
It's been more than I expected. It's been a tremendous opportunity to transform a company that was iconic in the home services space. And it certainly hasn't been boring. We've had no shortage of things to do, well, that's for sure.
Well, let's pick up on the past tense reference to was iconic. I mean, when Angie's List started, everybody was like, oh, yeah, this is a great idea. And then honestly, it's like, oh, yeah, Angie's List is still around, you know?
Yeah, and that's part of what attracted me to take the job, to be honest with you. Because Angie's List, it's been around for 20 years, and the brand has got extraordinary reach and power. I mean, it's got 56% unaided awareness, so it's right up there with Nike.
Come on, really? With all due deference, Angie's List and Nike in the same sentence?
In the home services space, okay. It is identified with it. It really is, and that's not a small thing. Because the home services space is a $400 billion space. Yeah. And I looked at the website and I thought, well, it's kind of stuck in 2002. Huh. And the opportunity to kind of come in and bring the website up to being a great user experience, take advantage of such a extraordinarily powerful brand, and then be able to bring to bear the data, this treasure trove of data that has been accumulated over the last two decades, I saw it as just a tremendous turnaround opportunity. But the big question was just the one you're asking, right? Do consumers still care about Angie's List?
Well, what happened that you had to come in and be a turnaround guy?
Well, I think the company reached a certain stage in its business model where, you know, the reviews paywall, basically members were charged to be able to get through to the ratings and reviews. Served it well for 18 of the past 20 years, but the company started to struggle. And, you know, it needed a fresh look, I think, at the strategy and the operating approach to be able to thrive, given how much has changed in the competitive landscape. And frankly, user expectations have just gone way up, right? The Airbnbs and Ubers and Facebook's have caused the bar to go up on what consumers sort of demand for a good experience online, and Angie's List didn't keep up with that.
And we should say here that you guys have recently dropped the paywall. You now offer a free service where you can read reviews, and then you've got a bunch of tiered things. I do want to pick up on what I've read that you said, a quote of yours. 90% of millennials said they would never pay for content under any circumstance. And you said, you know, you can't fight gravity. We got to be on board this train.
Right. I wanted to embrace that, because the great thing about millennials is they want to be part of something bigger than themselves, and they want to contribute back to a community. They feel some reciprocal obligation if they benefit from something to give something back. Well, that's great for a reviews company, because reviews are our lifeblood. And so I looked at it and said, time to drop the paywall for reviews. Huh. And we did that and have had extraordinary results. I mean, we've seen more than four times as many members joining us since we took down the paywall, and we've seen them really active in their engagement. And that's really reassuring, because, you know, the worst thing that could have happened, right, my nightmare would have been to drop the reviews paywall and nobody cares. Yeah. And that's not at all what happened.
Well, and you would have been out of a job, so it wouldn't have worried. You wouldn't have been your problem anymore, right?
No, it still would have been my problem. It just would have been a lot harder to solve. No.
How tough a sell was it, though, to drop that paywall inside the shop?
Well, frankly, we did a lot of analysis. And, you know, it was clear from the consumer research that millennials, as a matter of principle, were not going to pay to see reviews. And we looked at our saturation of baby boomers and Gen Xers, and the company had done a great job executing there. I mean, we had over a 70% penetration of baby boomers in terms of households that were members of Angie's List, a 50% penetration of Gen Xers. That's impressive execution. But millennials, it was horrible. It was below 30%. And the reason I concluded was the paywall, because They were used to being able to get that content for free, and I did not want to fight a battle to try and change it. That's why I referred to it as, you know, fighting gravity. And so we decided to go the other way, embrace it. And I've been really gratified with the response that we've been seeing. Not just in people joining, but they're coming back to the site. They're doing searches. They're doing profile views. There's clearly a big pent-up demand to be able to get this incredible content. Because we have over 10 million verified reviews that have been built up over this time. And nobody else has anything close to that content. It's more than twice what Google has in terms of content, far more than HomeAdvisor has.
You are swinging for the fences with name dropping here. I mean, seriously, Google and Nike, you have clearly ambition, right?
I have ambition, but it's grounded in data.
Tell me about the data then, because that's the second time you mentioned it. What is it that you know about us, and how does that help you do what you do?
Well, I mean, I think what I know is that in terms of growth, my big objective is to reignite growth. And to do that, it's really important to be able to get the folks who are looking to get home services done on our platform. And we just migrated to a brand new state-of-the-art platform. And to be able to get them actually using us to be able to connect with service providers. And when I looked at the data on our usage and our competitors' usage, what I was looking at was quality reviews. And, you know, quality service providers. One of the great things about sort of the history of Angie's List was there was a high bar for service providers to be part of Angie's List. Not just anybody can get on the list. They needed to have a certain number of A ratings or B rated reviews to be eligible to be Angie's List. And the great fit with millennials is they care about quality. And so when it came to looking at who had the greatest number of quality service providers, we had more than 3.5 times our next nearest competitor. And when it came to the number of reviews on those quality service providers, which is what you really want to see if you are a homeowner, again, we had far more than anybody else. And that's an advantage I intend to fully leverage.
How then, and this might be an opportune time to pause for a little finance here, how do you make money having just dropped the paywall and looking for growth that way?
So the business model shifts towards making more money from the service providers. And what we've done is we've tiered our service providers across a green level, a silver level, a gold level, and a platinum level. And they pay increasing amounts to be part of Angie's List. But we also are not giving up on the consumer side. So, yes, we do have free membership to be able to get to the ratings and reviews and to see our digital magazine. But I also kept 2 premium tiers, a silver level and a gold level. And that's because we are, instead of just charging to read reviews, offering real benefits for those premium memberships. So, you know, for example, if you want to have the ability to have us intervene on your behalf with a service provider if there's a problem, you need to be one of the premium members. We're bringing out other services like a home emergency services line where we'll make sure that you get a response within a couple of hours if your basement floods or your roof leaks. And then we rolled out right the same month I joined Angie's Service Quality Guarantee, Angie's Fair Price Guarantee. And so we're sort of standing behind the work for things that are sold online. And the combination of these things, you know, it's clear to me from the research that we did that those are benefits that are truly valued, and there's a segment that's willing to pay for those things. This is, after all, you know, your most precious asset. It's your home. And at the end of the day, we're talking $24.99 for a silver membership a year or $99 a year for gold membership. That's not a lot of money relative to the value of what's being delivered.
So in 5 years, then, are you all more than a review company with a couple of ancillary service-type things? And have you grown it into a much more service-based operation? Is that the plan?
Yeah, the plan that I outlined to investors in March had 3 parts. The first part was to fix the core business, which was really around reviews and sort of searching and matching and getting good service providers together with good jobs. But that's not enough. The second part of it really relates to taking advantage of this platform to bring together service providers, consumers, and increasingly partners who want to reach this huge $400 billion highly fragmented market. And there is no other really efficient, effective way to do that. I mean, we're in 253 markets. We're across 700 categories. We have a scale here that's really quite impressive. But where I really want to go, if you're talking a five-year time frame, is into the third part, which is where we become the first dedicated, purpose-built home services marketplace that just automatically knows what you need done around your home and schedules that and dispatches it, and it keeps track of it, you know, entirely for you. And nobody else really has that end-to-end vision. All the other players in the space are just really focused on the searching and matching part of it. That's what Google's doing. That's what Home Advisor is doing. That's, you know, that's pretty much what everybody's doing. And the problem with that is, you know, that's just the beginning of the process. We really care what happens once the service provider shows up and how things are taken care of after that. And that end-to-end vision, particularly with the ability to sort of have the technology fade into the background so just the right things automatically get taken care of for your home, that is an enormous opportunity because this space is not even 1% penetrated online, right? It's 0.7% penetrated. And we want to go systematically after what are those obstacles to developing and delivering more and more of those services online through our marketplace. And that's what we're building the platform to do. And that's a big opportunity. I've said that between now and 2020, that gives us the opportunity to build, you know, about a $750 million business with pretty attractive margins. So why wouldn't we do that?
How tied are you to the overall health of the housing market in this country? It would seem to be a lot, right?
No, wrong, actually. What happens in difficult times is that people tend to spend more on taking care of what they're currently in as opposed to like looking to buy a new home. So the renovation side of things, the repair side of things tends to come up. And so we're actually, you know, pretty evenly balanced. We do well, you know, in good times when people want to do kind of expansions and additions and some of the big projects that people might save up for that will really improve your home. And, you know, in tough times, you know, it works the other way where people are trying to kind of make the most out of something that they already have. So it's actually, you know, relatively balanced from a cycle point of view.
Who's your competition? Who do you worry about?
Oh, there's no shortage of competition. So the home services space has gotten interesting to a lot of people. So I mentioned already several of them, Google, Home Advisor, Facebook has started to even get into the space.
I'm not Amazon. Hearing you say Yelp. Yelp, no?
Yeah, Yelp. But, you know, Yelp really is sort of a directory with just a lot of reviews. There's not the same quality control on the reviews themselves. We don't actually, believe it or not, see, you know, a lot of our members. They don't really see us as trading off with one another. They'll come to us when it's home services. That's part of the power of the brand that I was talking about earlier. But sure, if you want a full list of competitors, you'd include Yelp.
What's your worst nightmare then? What keeps you up at night?
Well, my worst nightmare would have been dropping the reviews paywall and nobody caring, as I said. So fortunately, I'm now sleeping well, having been able to see what actually happens. But the next challenge will be, you know, how do you then monetize that? How do you turn that into revenues? And so, you know, we'll start now that we have this explosion of demand that's coming onto the platform. We will probably next see an increase in the number of service providers who are on the site. I mean, we have about 55,000 now. And so I think that will start to grow. And then that will also translate into what we call originations revenue, which is new service providers coming on in their first year. And then, you know, probably about a year behind that, the big opportunity is to grow renewals revenue. And that will sort of follow after that. But that's having the existing service providers basically not attrit and potentially upsell into bigger advertising packages.
Scott Derschlag, he is the CEO at Angie's List. Scott, thanks very much.
Thank you, Kai.
All right, that's it for this episode of Corner Office. Thanks for listening. We will have another episode in a couple of weeks.